My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on Earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are crazy for Daisy, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and you think that Mission Space is just something you have to contend with in an IKEA car park on a Sunday. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, we get festive with Ian.
I love Christmas time in Orlando, not just Disney World, but Orlando itself.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting all the latest news from the parks, and more of your Disney Plus recommendations. Everything you need to know if you just love Disney. Make sure you keep in touch as well. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on Earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network on the week that Walt Disney World theme parks finally reopened of sorts, with social distancing and park reservations having to happen. So Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom were the first to open up last weekend with some pass holder previews. And then just a couple of days ago, Epcot opened with a slightly different food and wine festival. It's kind of like food and garden and wine festival is probably how you best to describe it. Also, Hollywood Studios has finally opened its doors again. Again now with obviously social distancing, which means there's no fast passes. And also when it comes to things like Rise of the Resistance, you don't need to get a boarding group. You just need to queue up like everybody else. And the queues would be pretty high for a park that's not open to anywhere near full capacity. Obviously here in the UK, we can't go yet. We can still keep an eye on things over there. So when we can eventually go, can start to enjoy things. And hopefully things will be getting back to a little bit more back to normal when we can go. If you are going later on this year, do give me a shout. I'd love to get you on the podcast as soon as you're back. That would be really good. For the rest of us, we can have the podcast every Friday to talk about Walt Disney World. Also here answering your Walt Disney World questions if it comes to planning. If you've got any questions, just send me a message. You can DM me Facebook, Twitter, Instagram if you've got any questions, like April has done. Andy, I heard that they're going to stop providing free magic bands when you go to Walt Disney World as of the end of the year. We're going next year. Can you use an old magic band? Yes, you can. If you actually have a look in your My Disney Experience app, or if you go onto the website and have a look in your account, it's actually, if you've been a number of times, it's probably got all your old magic bands still there, and they'll either say active or inactive, and you can activate them on there. So you can have a look, choose a favourite one. I know I bought one last time I went, so I'm just going to use that one all the time, my Epcot one. But yes, you can get them in there. Marie wants to know, we're considering going next year and staying at Port Orleans. What is the difference between Port Orleans Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter? And can you use the same buses from either site? Well, Port Orleans Riverside is a big resort, and if you we've heard the podcast a number of times, a lot of people love French Quarter just because it's so small and they have literally just the one bus stop. But yeah, you can go between the two. You can, well, it's the same for any Disney resort. Doesn't matter where you're staying. Those buses that go from the parks to the resorts to Disney Springs, wherever you're staying, you can use them to any resort. So if you're staying over at Riverside, you fancy a little bit of a walk over the bridge, over the river, you can go over to French Quarter and use those buses there. Same goes if you're coming back from the parks and you want to get the bus over to Riverside and then walk to French Quarter, you can do that as well. Yeah. Any questions, let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical, same place to go to be on the podcast like this week's guest, Ian. So tell us, Ian, what you love about Walt Disney World.
I love the immersiveness of it, same as many people have answered before. I love that 2 weeks of just being away where nothing else back at home matters. You save all year and you've just got 2 weeks of just unbridled joy. Everyone enjoys it, all your family. You go with friends, family relations, and no matter what, everyone seems to enjoy it. So whether it's just me, the two kids and the wife, or me and friends, it's just you can't help but have a great time over there. And it's just that thing to look forward to at the end of the year, or depending when you go. I just absolutely love it.
So have you been on like a number of different holidays? You said like either you with the family or you with friends. When was the first time you went?
1991, first time I went.
Oh,
that
wow.
That was with my sister, mum, dad, nan and granddad back then. So
the big family holiday, the once in a lifetime dream.
Yeah. And there was quite a gap between that one and my next trip. But then
So when was the next one after that then?
2004. Yeah, 2004.
Oh, yeah, so that's still quite a way back, but quite a gap. What do you remember from the first time you went in the early 90s?
Oh, very little. I remember, I can't even remember which theme park it was at, the Psycho House. That might have been at Universal, though. I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles again. I remember getting my photos taken with them.
Wow.
Yeah, but a lot's changed since then. I remember, again, it's the wrong part, but Jaws was closed. I was absolutely devastated. It was closed down for refurb, but I knew then that I loved it, and I based, you know, a lot of things on. I even tried to join an industry. The job that I do was because I wanted to work in America, because I just wanted to live in Orlando. I knew from then, from when I was 7 years old, that was sort of the dream. It never came to fruition, so it's just a holiday now. But
just keep going back on holiday when we can. So last time you went then, did you go with family? Have you got kids?
Yeah, last time we went, it was December. It was me, my wife and my two kids. There was some friends there with us. They sort of went a few days before, stayed at a different hotel and came back a few days before we came back. But yeah, last December.
And how old are the kids?
They're currently 4 and 9. My 4-year-old's been 5 times, and my 9-year-old's been 8 times. So,
oh, wow! You got lucky kids. Definitely lucky kids.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
So, out of all the times you've been, have you got that one single favourite standout memory?
It was probably actually, it was 2015. It was my boy was 12 weeks old. It was the only time I've ever been completely with just my wife and my two kids, and nobody else was there the whole time. Went for 17 nights, stayed in a villa in Kissimmee, and that was, of all the, I've been 13 times, I think now, that was definitely the standout trip for me. It just went really well, really smoothly. But the boy was only 12 weeks old. We booked it before he was born, and then we just had to confirm his date with the plane company once he was born, and then he was booked onto the flight with us, and we just went for it. It was risky at the time with a 12-week-old. We didn't know exactly how to explain, but it just went so smoothly. It was fantastic.
I suppose once you've got there, once you've got over that flight, which he's probably just going to sleep on anyway,
yeah,
the rest is a bit of a dream, isn't it?
We had the Sky Cot, and they gave us a bulkhead seat, so he did sleep most of the way there. And I say he was in the pram, you know, so that was easy. In fact, it was easy to look after a 12-week-old, and it probably is like a 3 or 4-year-old who wants to sort of run around. But no, that was...
And wants everything.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Once they found out how much merchandise Mickey Mouse has got on the go and how many snacks they've got, then suddenly the crisis becomes a bit trickier.
Yeah, exactly. But I say we love it either way, so we wouldn't change anything for the world.
And do you always stay in a villa?
No, I've done various things. I've stayed International Drive, I've stayed Kissimmee, I've done the villas, hotels on International Drive and Kissimmee. I've stayed on site just the once back in 2007 at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Next time we go in, if all being well, December, that's in a villa this time. It'll be the first time in 4 trips we've done a villa. So looking forward to going back to that sort of style of living.
So I'm guessing, having you been on, like, in a villa, you've been on iDrive, you've been on site, there's obviously pros and cons of staying in different places. And probably a lot of people now who are rescheduling holidays for next year, who might have to start kind of cutting costs a little bit. Where would you prefer to stay now? If you know, if money was a bit tight, if you go, okay, we're on a budget this time, where would you choose?
Well, I think now a villa, because I'd sort of book it all separate, so I know exactly what I was getting from the villa. I'm not one for allocation on arrival, so if I could, I'd like to have a safe, pool heat, the Wi-Fi all included, but also the villa offers you the cooking facilities. So if you are on a bit of a budget, you can have your breakfast there, you can come back for tea, or maybe get a takeaway. It's still a bit cheaper than eating in restaurants. Little things like that can go our way. So definitely a villa, I think, would be the way forward now. Also, when we stayed on International Drive, we tried to stay like in a hotel room that had a kitchenette, so we could sort of still do some of those sort of things. Both of our kids have got celiac disease, so they're gluten and wheat intolerant.
So you've got to be careful what they eat.
Yeah, exactly. So little things like that we always have to consider.
And in terms of getting around, you just hire a car, or you're quite happy using transport?
Always hire a car. Very rarely travel anywhere using buses and whatnot. I love driving in America, so no, that's definitely our way of doing things with a rental car.
Because a lot of people don't. The thought of driving, like, it's frightening.
Yeah, it is. I sort of, when I first was old enough to go and on my own, we used to have to pay $25 a day extra because I was too young to. I was under 25, so I used to have to pay $25. But even with that extra cost, I just always knew that I just wanted to drive. That independence that it offers, you know, especially at the start of the holiday when you're waking up ridiculously early those first few mornings, it's good to be able to, rather than just staying in your hotel, you can go places, even if it's just a 24-hour McDonald's for an early breakfast and whatnot. Yeah, definitely.
And I suppose the roads are a bit quieter as well that time of day, aren't they?
Oh, they are. I mean, it's not for everyone, but I really like International Drive, and driving up and down International Drive while it's dark, but it's just lit up, that's really nice, yeah.
In terms of areas, if you're going to stay off-site in Orlando, where would you choose?
Well, International Drive or somewhere around the 192, and then the Villas, some, you know, Davenport, that neck of the woods down on at the end of the 192, around there. We stayed on the Highlands Reserve. That's a nice area on the golfing site. And that's similar area to where we're staying this December, all being well.
So, fingers crossed for December. We'll talk about December in a bit as well.
Yeah,
for sure. Let's talk about some of the stuff. Some of your favourite stuff in Walt Disney World. Then, a favourite attraction
is, well, I think it's going to have to be Happily Ever After. I've done the Christmas party. We've seen the fireworks for the Halloween party, but that the new incarnation of the nighttime closing events, the Happily Ever After, is still absolutely fantastic. I mean, we still sit and watch that at home on YouTube now, probably once a month. It's, you know, it's just fantastic.
To scratch the itch.
Yeah, definitely.
And is that the same for all the family then? Did the kids love that?
Yeah, we all love it. We all, and that show, it's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. For me, it's better than the ones at the sort of the after hours events or whatnot, the Christmas parties and Halloween parties. I absolutely, you know, really love that nighttime show.
On the subject of parties, I know the Halloween party's cancelled this year. Between Halloween and Christmas, I want you to tell us your favourite party. You've got to choose one, but we'll do a Disney Plus recommendation first from Michelle, who sent me a message on Facebook. If you've stumbled across anything that's like really good or really quirky or anything that reminds you of being at Walt Disney World, do let me know. Not the obvious stuff, you might be watching Frozen 2 or Hamilton over the last few weeks, but any like secret hidden gems you found on Disney Plus, give me a shout and we'll give them a mention on the podcast. This week's Disney Plus recommendation is the Eddie Murphy film The Haunted Mansion. She says, this is actually one of my favourite attractions in Walt Disney World. The film's a bit naff, but it just makes me laugh because it just reminds me about my favourite attraction, and my five-year-old loved it. Haunted Mansion, this week's Disney Plus recommendation. Anything you've stumbled across, let me know. You can Facebook me, you can send me a message on Instagram or Twitter if you want, just DM me. Podmagical is where we are, same place to go to be on the podcast, like this week's guest, Ian. So you've done both parties, you've done Halloween and Christmas, you've got to pick one. Between the two, which would you say is your favourite?
The Christmas party, we enjoyed that. We did that on our most recent trip. It was the first time we've done it. It was a lovely night, lovely weather as well. We got lucky with the weather. It was nice and warm. You get the free cookies, and as I say, my kids are gluten-free, but they had the gluten-free treats at all the stands where they were being dished out, and it actually wasn't too busy. I think the biggest queue we saw was 35 minutes for Space Mountain that particular night. So it was really good, really good.
So what time of year was that you went? Was that December?
Usually December. I'd say probably 10 times out of the 13 times I've been, it's been December.
So just before Christmas, before the big Christmas
break. Yeah, I used to like sort of go for 2 weeks early December and then try and tie it in with saving some more holidays and essentially just get the full month of December off from work. And so that was my game plan. I don't do that so much anymore. I don't mind going back in now. But I love Christmas time in Orlando, not just Disney World, Orlando itself. So
what else is there to do at Christmas in Orlando? Because every time I think of Christmas, I always just think of the, you know, the Christmas party at Magic Kingdom. Have you done like, because Universal have got stuff, haven't they, with the Macy's Parade?
Yeah, Universal have got that, the Macy's Parade. There's things like going to Celebration, and they've got all this some of the streets lit up and all the decorations there. I absolutely, I love SeaWorld at Christmas. Their Christmas Village is fantastic. A real Christmassy feeling. Certainly on the weekends as well. It's a little bit busier, but the atmosphere is fantastic. And Disney Springs is Christmas music. All the parks are dressed for Christmas nowadays, aren't they? So, it's really good. It really is.
They do go over the top for it, but in a classy kind of way in America. I like it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You might as well get, you know, it's a special event. So they really do go all out, you know. Yeah.
Let's talk about food. Have you got any favourite places to eat? We're not, either in the parks, in the hotels, or maybe on International Drive.
Yeah, in terms of in the parks, we're not massive foodies. We quite like the quick service. So we you know, Cosmic Rays, I quite like that one, and that Restaurantosaurus in Animal Kingdom. You get the sort of toppings bars on top, so you can top up your burgers with gherkins and onions and that sort of thing. Outside the parks, we like Longhorns, Outback, Miller's Ale House. Good steak houses. We really like them.
And bigger portions as well.
Yeah. So no, we do enjoy it. If we're not staying for a nighttime event of any sort, going for a sort of not a late evening meal, shall we say, at the restaurants away from the parks. Yeah.
Because obviously now that the dining plan's gone, a lot of people are kind of like thinking about different ways to eat when they're on holiday without having that free dining, especially. But obviously, if you can stay off site and there's cheaper places outside Disney to go to, then it's always good.
Yeah, no, exactly. We've always done it that way. I've only stayed on site the once, and it wasn't so much a big thing about dining back in 2007. Certainly no dining plans that I can remember. So I've not done the dining plan myself. But yeah, people do enjoy it, and you've seen just recently since all the announcements, people are really upset about missing out on the dining. Yeah. It's obviously a big pull. So hopefully it'll all come back in the next year or two.
Fingers crossed, hopefully. Yeah. What's your Disney must do? Like, your holiday would not be complete until you have done this.
Again, it'll probably be Happily Ever After. I do love some of the shows, the Frozen show as well at Hollywood Studios. My daughter was just that age when Frozen was out that she knew every song, and to see her in there when the snow comes down at the end, I'd always go there. And then in terms of rides, things like Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, and the big mountains over at Magic Kingdom, and Everest as well, you know, the big rides.
So what's your planning strategy then? This can be in terms of booking, like literally from the start of looking to book to actually planning where you're staying and fast passes. What's your strategy? Have you got a strategy?
Not really. The one thing we always do, it's always Magic Kingdom via the ferry boat on the first day. That's a given. And then we book fast passes for multiple days. And then if we aren't to go, then we always make sure we cancel them so somebody else gets their choice. That's about as far as we go with planning. We never really take that too seriously. The only thing I would say is with having gluten-free kids again, it's, you know, we try and pack the snacks accordingly, or if we feel like they may need sandwiches and stuff with gluten-free bread, we'll sort that for the night before, ready for each day coming up. So you know, we're prepared that way, but other than that, we don't really go to town on planning. Say just Magic Kingdom on the first day is always absolute rule of thumb for us.
Now, is there anything that, like, because you said you've been going since the early 90s, is there anything that has gone that you really miss?
The big one would be the Osborne Lights, the Batlock Tour, but the Osborne Lights, that was fantastic. We only did it a couple of times, but yeah, we certainly missed that once it went. That was fantastic. Again, at Christmas as well, when they had the dancing lights to the Christmas music, it was
that was
fantastic.
At Hollywood Studios, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I think that sort of went to start building Toy Story Land.
Yeah, that's where all that is now. They did the old American Street, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, Hollywood Street. Fantastic.
So tell me about December then. What are your plans, touch wood, fingers crossed, so far?
Well, they have actually been shaken up just this last week, because it was announced that anyone who was planning on going to Disney and had Disney tickets booked had to pay them off by June 10th. Whereas, because we didn't know for sure that we would be even allowed to go to America, we didn't want to sort of pay £1,700. So unfortunately, we've had to cancel our Disney trip for this year. We're still going to go. And if they start selling them again, or maybe just individual days for when they announce this new reservation system, and there's maybe not the uptake that they think there will be, we'll certainly tag a few days in if we can. But for this year, unfortunately, that's curtailed our plans. So I'm just going to keep my eyes out and hope and pray that something comes up where they can start selling some tickets and go for that.
So what have you got planned then for December? So flights and villa is all sorted and paid for, and that's fine.
Yeah, flights, villa, that's sorted. And then we've kept the Discovery Cove and SeaWorld tickets, because they've not put like some sort of date on it, but that's because they're not as popular as the Disney. I understand Disney's position. It's not easy for them.
Yeah.
So at the moment, it's just SeaWorld. I'm not going to book Universal yet, because I'm still open for some sort of miracle with Disney World. But worst case, we'll end up going, which is not really a worst case. I don't want to say that in a negative way. But Universal, it'll end up being probably Busch Gardens, and maybe just one or two more relaxing days, which actually fits in well with us being at a villa this time with our own pool and whatnot.
Yeah, I suppose it's probably just going to be a different kind of holiday. And maybe, like you say, touch wood, fingers crossed, it might only be one or two days at Disney, or just get what you can, I suppose. But yeah, you need a holiday, don't you? You need that Orlando fix regardless.
Oh, definitely. We'll definitely we definitely want to go. We'll definitely be going. If the plane's going and we're allowed to go, then we'll be on it, and we're looking forward to it.
How do you feel about flying if you've got to wear a face mask the whole time?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but whatever it takes for everyone, not just ourselves, but surrounding passengers feeling safe in one another's company for 9 hours, and we'll do it. Our kids are good; they're aware of the virus and whatnot, so I'm sure they'll do what it takes. I know some planes are sort of saying like the middle seats aren't being. I don't know what Virgin have done. They've changed our plane over. We were on the 747, but on the app now it's now showing the single tiered plane. So and we've been allocated new seat numbers. So
right,
it's all ready to go as far as I'm aware. So hopefully they're saying they're going to be flying from July the 20th. So
yeah.
I don't know how they know that, but let's hope and pray that everything goes well and we can all start enjoying a more normal life.
Fingers crossed. And I mean, so much can change between now and December. I mean, so much can change between now and the end of next week. So
yeah, exactly. You don't know what's around the corner. So you might as well just enjoy the planning or what planning we can do and go from there.
Well, fingers crossed it all comes off for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Get that Disney fix. Good to talk to you, Ian. Have a magical day.
You too, have a magical day.
Fancy joining me to chat Disney on the podcast? Get in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Podmagical is where we are. Same place to go if you've got any good top tips. Now, I usually do Andy's top tip of the week every week. We've had quite a few money-saving tips on food at Disney, but I did have this message from Lizzie. I thought, this is a great tip. I'm going to share this. This is cheeky as anything. And if Mickey Mouse is listening to this podcast, he will be furious at this tip, Lizzie. But Lizzie says, free food at Disney, Andy. Fake a birthday or anniversary. Last year, we went for dinner at Ohana. Now, Ohana, the food is all included anyway, even your dessert, but this is great. Lizzie said, we said that it was our wedding anniversary and we asked if we could have some cupcakes and crispy treats because we saw somebody on the other table do it. We did, and we even got them in a bag to take for breakfast the following day. So there you go. Get those free badges that say it's your birthday on. Fake it. Every time you go to Disney, make somebody have a birthday, have an anniversary, have a job promotion, celebrate something. You never know. If you're paying for food, don't pay for dessert. See if you can get like a free little cake or a crispy treat at the end of it, just like Lizzie did. We'll do some more top tips. We have a top tip of the week every week, usually Andy's top tip. But if you've got any, let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is where we are. Don't forget, we've got a brand new podcast every Friday. And by now, you should have subscribed to the podcast because we're here every week. Just hit that subscribe button, especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.